At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The Bucks game is over. Are they one win closer to hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy? Let's talk about what happened in the game with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show on The Fan. Your local Pick and Save stores, the official grocer of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Welcome in, Bucks fans. That is a winner for your Milwaukee Bucks. They take a 2-1 series advantage here over the Atlanta Hawks. I gotta tell you, there were a lot of anxious people when this game started. That first quarter, a lot of nervous people. I had tweeted out, now again, this was not knowing the Bucks were eventually going to win 113-102 like they did tonight in Atlanta. Game 4 comes up on Tuesday night, and Tuesday we'll have a combo post-game show talking Brewers and Bucks as well, because Brewers-Cubs play at American Family Field Tuesday night, and then, of course, the Bucks are in Atlanta. They'll end probably right around the same time, so it kind of will be a combo post-game show on Tuesday night with Tim Allen. But Bucks get the win 113-102. Early on in this game, after the Bucks got off to a rough start, I had tweeted out, I said, all right, so tell me some positives so far, because everybody was hammering and being negative about the Bucks. And I didn't put my positive. My positive was, hey, look, Brook Lopez getting some paint touches, finishing around the rim a little bit. That was like the only positive I pretty much had at that point. And, you know, some people tweeted, oh, Bobby Portis is playing. That's good. Bobby Portis is playing well. That's positive. And that was positive. And that was all good stuff, obviously, for the Milwaukee Bucks, that Bobby Portis was playing well. Then as the game goes on, Atlanta continues to knock down threes. Milwaukee continues not to knock down threes. But what was happening was something that you hadn't really seen a lot of, and they seemingly went away from in the second half eventually, was the Bucks actually feeding the ball to Giannis, who had mismatches in the post. They weren't really running doubles at him, so he was just continuing to score. That's all that was pretty much happening. They got a mismatch, boom, go to Giannis, let him attack. Got a mismatch, boom, go to Giannis, let him attack. And I tweeted out, just feed him, please. Until they start setting doubles to take the ball out of his hands, just continue to run the ball at Giannis. Then Knucklehead decided to shoot a three, air ball. Then he comes back later, hits one, and I'm like, oh, God. That means he's going to take another four or five more. Thankfully, he did not. Giannis on the night finishes up with 33 points, 11 rebounds for Giannis tonight. Middleton. He was really the story of the game. 38 points, 11 boards, 7 assists, 15 of 26 shooting, 6 of 12 from 3. The fourth quarter, he was just unconscious. At one point, he had 3-4 shots in a row. I thought they were all threes, and then Sam went back and looked, and they called one of them a two, but he was unconscious in the fourth quarter. And see, this is the Chris Middleton that you know and love, right? Chris Middleton can be stone cold and kill you. And then Chris Middleton can be on fire and absolutely carry you to a win. And that's what happened. Chris Middleton took this basketball team, put him on his back, and said, guys, I got you. Follow me. And they followed him to a win. We talk so much about, is Chris Middleton good enough to be the number two to Giannis to win a championship? Can he be that guy? I've said time and time again, I don't know if he can be. I don't think he can be. I'm not convinced he is that guy. But on nights like tonight, it's hard to say no. On nights like tonight where he's that guy, hard to say no. And again, Jrue Holiday, 2 of 11, and back to being Jrue Holiday after a couple of good games, back to being what Jrue Holiday's been. Not very effective. But he did have 12 assists, so give him credit for that, obviously. You overcame Trae Young playing really, really well there in the first quarter, then kind of went quiet after that, then gets hurt stepping on a referee's ankle, and you're thinking to yourself, well, boy, you know, maybe Bucks catch a break here. Toodles to Trae Young. No such luck. No toodles to Trae Young. He came back, played it out, and I'm assuming if he played out that, he'll play out and be ready to go on Thursday in Atlanta. Get to go home, sleep in his own bed. Get all rehabbed up and shot up and whatever else they need to do to get him out there on Thursday. I just don't think, and maybe I'll be wrong, I just don't see how Atlanta wins this series. I said it before game one, and I'm still going to continue to say it. I don't think Atlanta can win this series. And I know, in game one, people were freaking out. And I was doing this post-game show going, that dude's not hitting 48 every night. It's just not happening, guys. It's just not going to happen. They came back and they got game two, blew out Atlanta, took a punch, well, a couple of punches from Atlanta for about three quarters, and then took over. I don't know what there is to be nervous about, fearful of, or whatever. They hit their threes. You didn't hit your threes until the fourth quarter when Milton got going, and you still won the basketball game. And that's pretty much my recipe for how they beat you was, they get hot from outside, you're cold, that's probably how you lose a game or two in the series. That's pretty much what it was for three quarters. Including outside shots to save your life. But you were attacking the paint, which is something you need to continue to do in this series to get yourself in position to go to the NBA Finals. Yeah, I said it, the Bucks in the NBA Finals. At this point, as a Bucks fan, I think you got to be looking at this going, feeling pretty good about that right now. And then whatever comes out of the West, Phoenix or LA, whatever it may be. You feel better about this series now than you did maybe before after seeing how the Bucks won this series tonight. And you Milton haters, I'm sorry to ruin your night, but he won this game for the Bucks. They won 113-102. Bucks now up 2-1. Next game, Tuesday night in Atlanta, 7:30 tip. Every game is a 7:30 tip. And looking forward to that one already. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Dion Northside, you're next on the Pick and Save Basketball Post Game Show with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up?
Yo, Sparky, man, I called in earlier this week. I criticized Chris Middleton's game because he went 6-for-23.
Yep.
But I noticed in the second game, he did something very important. He realized his shot wasn't falling early, and he became more of a facilitator. He ended up going 6-for-13. So now you have this game where he has this monster, mega blowout game, and he goes ahead and scores, what, 38, 40 points, something like that?
Yep.
That is what we need from him. He has to understand early if his shot doesn't fall, he needs to become a facilitator. And then he can get his rhythm going, and those shots will fall. You saw him heat up in the second half.
Well, yeah, he heated it up in the second half, no question about it. And now after watching this, we're three games in. Do you feel good that the Bucks win this series?
I am always I used to be a Bucks and six guy. I'm a Bucks and five guy right now. We dropped that game at home, but we punched them in the mouth in the second game. I don't think Atlanta has the size. They don't have the experience to be able to hang in this series. It's Bucks and five, baby.
That's where I was to start the series. Thanks for the call. That's where I was before the series started, was Bucks and five. I'm not moving off Bucks and five in either. I'm right there, Bucks and five. I just
I just think it's going to be very difficult at this point to beat this Bucks team. And Giannis is dinged up now. He's got a sleeve on, got some issues going on that leg of his. He's playing hurt. Maybe not hurt. A little dinged up, right? Everybody's dinged up at this time of the year, including Giannis. And he was still able to get where he wanted to go when he wanted to go in this game. You just have to be super impressed to be able to figure out a way to win this game, despite how bad you looked early on in this game. And the fact that you trailed pretty much the whole game. You got it back to even at halftime, and then they jumped out to another lead, and you were down 7 at one point there in the third quarter. But you figured it out. You kept going. Again, I look back at that Nets series, and I just think if the Bucks win the championship, if that's how this plays out and what happens, I just think you look back at that Nets series and go, that helped them more mentally than anything else that could have happened in the postseason. That whole series, how the whole thing played out, the ups, the downs, the fire bud talk, the Game 7 craziness, overtime, everything else that happened, that series, I think, pushed them over the top mentally. I really did. Where now you lose Game 1 at home, whatever, fine. We're fine. Don't even worry about it. And you bounce back, you win Game 2. You come to Atlanta, you take a punch in the face. If this might have been another year, they might have folded like a cheap tent and they might have gotten blown out by 20. They took the punch, they kept taking punches, and they just wouldn't give up. They kept fighting and then eventually got the win. That I'm telling you, that Nets series could be the turning point for this franchise going forward here possibly. Let's go to Brett on the West Side. You're next on the Pick 'n Save Basketball postgame show after the Bucks get the 113-102 win. Do you feel better about the Bucks winning this series after this one?
Steve, Sparky Pfeiffer.
What's up?
We're winning this series, Steve.
Yep,
and I have never been more confident in a game that the Bucks went down by 7 and 10 in my life, Steve. I have never been more confident that this team could beat us. This was Atlanta's best showing on their home court that we're going to see. And I genuinely believe that we just saw what Atlanta can throw at us. And the Bucks responded. Mm. Now, obviously, with Trey going down with whatever that was, an ankle mishap, doesn't help our case, but I think that we just saw what Atlanta could throw at us, and I don't see a better Atlanta team for the rest of the series.
Well, see, and that's the thing, though. You look at this game, right? Bogdanovich, 2-10 from 3. Can he shoot better than that in the game? Yeah, probably. I would think so.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely he could.
John Collins got only 13 points tonight. Can he score better than that in a game? Yeah, probably. He could probably do better than that.
He probably could, but he hasn't done it yet in 3 games in this
series. I agree. Well, I'm just talking about if come maybes of...
Maybe this, whatever is nagging him, is going to recover over time. But even if it does, it's not going to make that big of a difference.
Well, see, and that's the thing what we're talking about here, Brett. Thanks for the call. That's the thing that we're talking about. How much of a difference will it make if Collins gets going? I'm telling you right now, folks, you held Capella and Collins to 11-8. That was what I was preaching after game one of Trae Young's going to do whatever Trae Young does. Fine. You want to take 32-foot jump shots? Have at it, dude. Take 20 of them if you want. And if you hit 5 of them, God bless you. I'll give you that shot all day. All day. Take as many as you want. You know, for as much love as everybody gives that dude, as you watch him, there's a part of you that goes, man, that dude's fearless. Like, he'll just take any shot, any time of the shot clock. It does not matter. And he'll hit some of those shots. Like, oh. And then there's part of you that watches him and you go, that dude could kill a team by himself. Because he has no conscience. None. It's like, I'm going to take whatever shot I want, whenever I want to take it. Ain't nothing anybody on this team is going to do about it. Nothing you're going to do about it in the other team. And that's how this is going to be. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Iverson. Iverson had that same kind of thing where I'm just going to do whatever I want. And sometimes I'm going to get going and I'm going to win games. And other times when I'm missing shots left and right, I'm going to lose his games. And we're going to live and die by me taking 30 shots a game. It kind of has that same feel. And when he's feeling it and gets 48, they win. I mean, he didn't play bad tonight at all. 12 of 23, 6 of 14 from 3, 5 of 6 from the line. One bad game, played really well. But a lot of shots were just like, what are you doing? They're so early in shot clock and then dribbling and dribbling and dribbling and dribbling and holy vey. But again, because he's their guy, their star, you live with that. You have nobody else star-wise. You got a bunch of other role players around that dude. So you have to live with it. Nate, north side of Milwaukee, you're next on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. What's going on, Nate?
What's up,
Darky? What's up?
Tonight was a good night. I was on the postgame show earlier with Tim, and he was doing like a little Bucks prediction.
Brewers are on fire right now, man. 3-game lead over the Cubs in that division. Good golly.
Yep, and then we got them coming in. Yep. This week.
And you've got your three best pitchers going, too, in Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns. I mean, you could have a 6-game lead in this division by the time Wednesday is done.
And it'll be great because the Bucks are probably clinched by then.
Yep.
I had guessed like 115, 105. We got close to that. You just got to give credit to Chris Middleton. We got to give credit to Giannis tonight. And Drew Holiday with his 12 assists. And it's good defense down the stretch. But Bobby Portis off the bench, man. I can't say much about what he means to that team because when Brooke was struggling, it seemed like Brooke was struggling a lot today as far as the defensive side. Bobby Portis came in and gave you some energy.
Don't you just shake your head when you watch Bobby Portis, don't you shake your head and go, boy, he wasn't good enough to play it in the Nets series in the second half of that series. Don't you just shake your head at that? I do. I don't know about anybody else, but I do. I'm just baffled by that.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's crazy about when you look around, you think, at first when they first signed him in the beginning of the year, I'm like, dude, he's been bouncing around from team to team to team. What can he provide for us? You see this is what he can provide. Toughness off the bench, gives you energy in a hostile environment, and he just plays his heart out, man. And, you know, you can't do anything but that, so... You got to give him credit, and guess what? He never complained. He never went out and said, "Bud, man, forget Bud. He's not playing me this series." He just took it on the chin, and now he's producing in one of the biggest moments. So, yep, Chris Middleton, Drew Middleton and Giannis, Bobby Portis, they all deserve that.
No question. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Hey, take care, Bobby Portis. When the Bucks got Bobby Portis, I was like, never been the biggest Bobby Portis fan in the whole wide world, right? But this is what I figured. He was going to be a tough guy, could help on the boards, nice backup setter, fine. The one thing Bobby Portis has provided that I didn't realize he would provide is he's provided some nice offense for this team in big moments. In big spurts in games where it's like, man, look at Bobby Portis just kind of getting on a little bit of a run himself right now. And that, to me, has been the pleasant surprise. I didn't think he'd contribute as much offensively off the bench as he did. I thought he'd provide toughness, provide the 6 fouls, get some rebounds, be that guy that does the dirty work underneath that we have not had in quite a while on this Bucks team. That's what I thought he'd provide. And... again, he's just provided so much more than that. And again, as we watch him do well, I just get more upset by the fact that we really didn't see him that last series. But doesn't matter. Bucks won the series, so no need to harp on that now since the Bucks have moved on. How much better do you feel about this Bucks team winning this series now that they have gotten game 3 in the books? They get the win. The way they got the win, riding Middleton there in the fourth quarter, 113-102. How much better do you feel? I'm still Bucks in 5. How about you? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan.
It's time for the Wendy's Player of the Game on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. Get yourself a free Wendy's Frosty after every Bucks win.
Welcome back. How are you doing? I'm doing just great. And I know people at Wendy's are excited because when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Go get you a Wendy's Frosty. Go right now. They're open late. Chocolate, vanilla Wendy, chocolate or vanilla Frosty. No purchase necessary. Go get you that Frosty right now at Wendy's. Take advantage of it right now. I'm going to stop and give me one on the way home tonight. I promise you that much. Give me a chocolate or vanilla Frosty tonight. And then take a picture of it. And then tomorrow on the big show, I'm going to tell you to tweet us at you, and I'll tell you what's going on tomorrow. So go get that Frosty. Take a picture of you with that Frosty tonight. And then I'll tell you what to do with it tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show between 10 and 2. It should be a fun one tomorrow. Talking about a big Bucks victory, 113-102. I mean, there really is only one way to go with the player of the game, and it would have to be this guy right here.
There's Connaughton to the bucket, then goes cross court. Tucker flips it out. Middleton for three again. That was a three, no question. Middleton with 32 points. And the Milwaukee Bucks have taken a 101-98 lead.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable stuff there by Chris Middleton. Highly courtesy of TNT. Marv Albert on the call. Middleton ends up with 38, 11 boards, 7 assists, 4 turnovers, 15 of 26 shooting, 6 of 12 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line. He is your Wendy's player of the game tonight. It is Chris Middleton. Go get that free Frosty right now. If you're leaving the Deer District, stop by Wendy's. Grab yourself a free Frosty on the way home. Now, again, I was leaving the Deer District, I'd be getting a couple bacon double stacks with that free Frosty and some fries, because if I've been outside all night cheered on my Bucks team, A, my voice is probably hurting a little bit, and B, I'm probably starving. So that's probably how I'm going about it. Ken, speaking of the Deer District, you're next on the Pickett State Basketball Postgame Show. What's up, Ken?
Hello there, Sparky. It is a pleasure to hear you back on the postgame show, my friend.
Well, thank you, Ken. So you were down at the Deer District tonight?
Yes, I was. I was with my buds. It was electric. I just have two quick things to say here, Sparky.
Sure.
One, I hope all the Chris Middleton haters were loving this tonight. We're loving this. I'm going to especially call out Ram here really quick. I know Ram is not a big Chris Middleton guy, all right? But Chris Middleton showed everyone he is a top 25 player in the league, hands down. Bless Chris Middleton. Second, if the Bucks can do this, if the Bucks can go and win this chip here, Giannis will eclipse Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the best Buck of all time. And I am guaranteeing that. Giannis stayed, Kareem left. Sparky, have a great night. Enjoy this win.
Take
God
care.
Bless the Bucks. Bucks in five, baby.
Bucks in five. I'm with you, Ken. Thanks for the call. I don't know. I think right now, we start talking about best Buck of all time. I guess I'm with you. I think I'm with you on that one, Ken. I think if Giannis and this Bucks team wins a championship, I'm with you. I think I would put him one. I think I would. Now, I don't know what John McLaughlin would say, and I would have to go to John McLaughlin and see if he would agree or not on that. Because obviously, I didn't watch Lew Alcindor at that time, not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lew Alcindor. I'll play for the Bucks and how dominant he was. I mean, I've seen old footage and so forth, but the aspect of him wanting out and leaving and this dude signing and staying, grant you, a ton of money. But either way, still here, not going anywhere. Plus, as good as he is, multiple MVPs, defensive player of the year, and then wins a ring on top of it. And wins a ring without having Hall of Famers surrounding him, see LeBron James. Very, very impressive. Very, very impressive, without question. Oh, buddy. Pickett State Basketball Postgame Show is on the air, and our longtime friend of this postgame show, dating back to 2000 and what was it, 6 when this show started? 2007, whenever we started this show, is our guy, no longer in the state of Wisconsin, but in Huntsville, Alabama. He is Big Marco. What's up, Big Marco?
man. How are you doing, man?
Big Marco, how are you, man? Long time no talk. How you been?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little while since I got on the post-game show and spoke with you, Milwaukee. How are you guys doing, Milwaukee? I'd love to be in your shoes right now.
Oh, it's feeling right good now. Right now, man. You got to be jealous you're not in that Deer District. I'll tell you that.
I am jealous, man, dude. I mean, because I've watched 35-plus years due to bad Bucks basketball, man. Yep. And been to playoff games where we got ripped off, dude, by Donahue and his sports betting. I mean, because I'm sorry, that 2001 Bucks team should have went to the finals.
Yeah, screw job, yeah.
Yep, but man, take advantage of this moment, you guys, and all that stuff. I mean, because this is one of those times, dude, when you leave Milwaukee and you sit here and things start going good, and you think, dude, that hell is frozen over. Man, ride this moment, you guys. But long story short, man, I'm gonna say probably Bucks and six, man. The reason why, dude, is because you know that team is fast and all that stuff. I don't know, you know, if you guys seen it. It's just like, you know, they went up 7-0, dude, real quick, dude. And I know, dude, it's, you know, with Bucks being rusty and things like that, but they got youthful legs, dude. This is like the first time that I'm sitting here seeing like the Bucks come of age, and now they're starting to, you know, look older and all that stuff. I mean, that young team, dude, they're just flying up the floor. I mean, I'm glad, dude, you know, that Trae Young, dude, I got to sit here and laugh, dude. But, yeah, you know, long story short, man, you know, Bucks and six, dude. I don't think, dude, that the Hawks are down yet, dude, because realistically down here, dude, there's no respect, dude, for the Bucks at all. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
In Atlanta, dude, they're overblowing and overhyping this team and all that, and they don't see reality.
And I can get that, Big Marco, because nobody thought this Hawks team would be where they were. They fired their coach earlier in the season when Pierce, he gets fired. You Nate McMillan the interim tag, which he still has, which is ridiculous. And away you go, and Trae Young, you know, knocks off one team after another, including the one seed. So, yeah, I'm not all that surprised. They should be riding their high. I have no issue with that whatsoever. Big Marco, take care, buddy. There he is, Big Marco. In Huntsville. I have no problem with that. None. Because I guarantee you, if I was in Atlanta doing sports talk radio, and I was talking about the Hawks, and having watched the Hawks be horrible for so long, I know something about that, being a Bucks fan, and now you get on this run that nobody saw coming to the Eastern Conference Finals, yeah, I'd be riding that wave too. I'd be running my mouth just as much as they probably are in Atlanta. Probably the exact same way they are, without question. I'm not mad about that. Nothing whatsoever. Let them enjoy it. Let them have fun with it. That's part of this whole thing. That's what makes it fun. Mike in Pewaukee, you're next on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. How much more confident are you feeling after that Bucks Game 3 win tonight?
Hey, Sparky. I'm remaining cautiously optimistic about this team because they've let me down before, but I have to say that they weathered the storm tonight. And, you know, people are going to say, you know, Trae Young, you know, twisting the ankle a little bit. You know, that's all well and good, but it's part of the game. You know, the Bucks have had some fortune in this last series with injuries and then him tweaking his ankle tonight, Trae Young. It helped, but I think the Bucks are starting to gain some maturity as a team. But the one thing that I'm really, and this is nothing new, I know, you know, but Drew Holiday, I love Drew Holiday, but man, he is really a liability offensively. I mean, as good as he is defensively, he's equally as bad the last couple, three games, or offensively. And that, you know, the fact that we won in spite of it is encouraging to me, but it's like, man, it's almost like an even-up trade, you know, Eric Bledsoe for Drew Holiday.
But it's
right
not an even-up trade because you gave away a fortune in order to
get
him.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, you're right about that. You're right about that. But I'm just talking player for player. You're getting the same guy, basically, but giving up a lot in the process. So,
right. And that's the unfortunate part about this whole thing. Hey, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Take care. Okay, so, look, if you go back and you look at him so far, in the playoffs. In the first round against the Miami Heat, his best game was 20 points, 11 boards, 3 assists. That was the first game of the series. Then he went 11, 15 assists, 7 rebounds. Next game, 19 and 12. Next game, 11, 9 and 6, 4 steals. Okay. Shot 48.8% from the field. Fine. Now here comes Brooklyn. In the Brooklyn series, he averaged 15 points per game in the Brooklyn series, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 29% from 3, 38% from the field. And here, how about this? Shot 40% from the free throw line in that series. Those aren't not good numbers. Those aren't good numbers by any stretch of the imagination. Then he has a huge game one for the Bucks, and you're feeling much better about things. Much better. I was feeling pretty good even after game two. 9 of 14, 22 points, 7 assists. That's good. And now tonight, he wasn't on. 2 of 11. Fine. And thankfully, they were able to win without him. Now, I'll say this. If they get the Suns or the Clippers, if they get Kawhi back, and Kawhi's not playing the next game, they already determined that today. But if they get the Suns, or they get the Clippers with Kawhi, he's going to have to play consistently well. He just is. They're going to need a team effort to beat Phoenix because they can score in bunches. Now, again, Devin Booker is, you know, one night is the guy, and the next night, you know, it's 18 or 20. Fine. But you have to be able to score against that Suns team. So they're going to need him. Maybe not the rest of this series necessarily, but they're going to need him in the finals when they get there. More than likely. Maybe they can win it without him. But I think what has happened is we raised expectations for Jrue Holiday because of everything that John Horst gave up to get Jrue Holiday. And during the season, Jrue Holiday showed you in spurts why he's so good. And clearly a better basketball player than Eric Bledsoe. Like, that's not even up for debate. He's definitely a better basketball player. I kept saying during the regular season, hey, man, until I see him consistently be the guy in the playoffs, I'm not there yet. Let's just see what he does in the playoffs and go from there. And he hasn't been that consistent factor yet. He's had a couple nice games out of 2.5 rounds. But we'll see going forward. Jrue Holiday may be the reason why they win the NBA championship come finals time. You don't know. Chris Middleton has looked horrible in a couple of games, and then other games like tonight, Chris Middleton has been unbelievable at the end of the day.
Coming up on a minute remaining in this fourth quarter, 5 on the shot clock. Middleton played by Gallinari. Middleton with the jumper. Yes. And that should do it.
Tied his career high right there. 38 for Middleton.
It's very, very difficult to beat the Bucks if Middleton is playing at that level. It just is. You can't expect him to play at that level every night, however. That is unfair. And you could talk all you want about Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and all these other guys. Klay Thompson wasn't throwing up 38 on a night-in, night-out basis in the playoffs for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm talking before Durant got there, but especially when Durant got there. That wasn't happening. Just you're just not going to get that type of effort consistently out of that second guy. Any second guy, for that matter. Wade wasn't doing that night in and night out for Miami. Scottie Pippen wasn't doing it for the Bulls. Like, you just don't have that type of deal. But when you have three guys, you just need one of the other two beside your star to have a relatively big night. And if you get that, hopefully that's enough to win. But then you add in Bobby Portis being as good as he was off the bench to really help things along offensively, and you're really in a position. And as we stated before this series started, they have nobody to stop Giannis. He missed some basket. He missed some hoops that were real close to the basket. Things that he should hit and that he was missing. Numbers should have been even better than they were, even with the airball free throw that he had in the game. And the people chanting and everything else. All right, so the Bucks they come up victorious tonight. Get the Game 3 win. So now they're up 2-1. 113-102 Bucks over the Atlanta Hawks. Game number 4 in Atlanta coming up on Tuesday night. Dial it up. How much more confident are you feeling? Were you at the Deer District? Want to hear from you as well. Just how cool was it? We saw it on TV. It looked pretty crazy. Sam Schmitz, who's producing the show tonight, said it looked like Summerfest. It was a Summerfest concert or something going on, right? That's what it looked like from the TV. How did it feel for those of you that were down there inside of it. How early did you have to get there in order to get a spot, too? I'm anxious to hear that answer. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM. The Fan. Have not read any tweets yet. We'll do that straight ahead.
Who starred off the bench today? It's time for the backup of the game. Presented by Gene Wagner Plumbing on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. For any of your plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
All right, Bucks get the win over the Atlanta Hawks. 113 to 102. Bucks now up 2-1. Game 4 comes up on Tuesday. Now we have a combo postgame show. Tim Allen talking Brewers and Bucks. Bucks will start at about 7:30. Brewers will start at about 7. Brewers Cubs at American Family Field. Brewers will go into that series up 3 games in the division. Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns on the mound for the Brewers. In these 3 contests, Brewers in a position to go 6 games up in the division. Goodness gracious, unbelievable. And Keston Hira appears to be back. We'll see. It's only 1 series, but another home run today for Keston Hira and a big double as well. So we'll see how that one plays out. But the Bucks get the win tonight. And again, 1 game closer. The Bucks just tweeted out 6 games to go as far as 6 or more wins needed to be the NBA champion, to win the whole thing. Time for your backup of the game, Gene Wagner Plumbing. There is only one person I can think of that deserves that honor, and it is this man.
Here's Gallinari. Try to get the foul on Portis, but no foul called, and Portis able to go all the way.
Bobby Portis, without question, the backup player of the game. 17 minutes, 7 of 12 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 15 points, 4 boards, an assist, and a couple of steals. Plus 17 rating with Bobby Portis on the floor, for those of you that care about the plus-minus differential when guys are on the floor. I'm not a big fan of that stat, but either way, that's what it was tonight. So nicely done by Bobby Portis this evening. Let's go to Nick, who's in the Deer District tonight. You're next on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I don't know. It's the atmosphere here is great. I just love that the energy that we bring here. If we can just keep this going, I understand that. Yeah, Drew had an interesting game. Chris had a great game though. Yeah, down here at Whitetail. Whitetail's great. Uncle Bucks is great. We had AJ Dillon out here. I've actually worked here at Whitetail.
How early were people getting there? So 7:30 start, tip time. So were people there at like, I mean, it's a yeah. Sunday, so people weren't working necessarily.
Right. I work at Who's as well, Who's on Third. Get here at 5. I come down here at 4 or 5 o'clock. You know, even 6 o'clock, you might be okay. A little bit, you know, off of the bridge, you might be able to find some parking. Otherwise, you're going to be dealing with a lot of the parking issues.
So at least two and a half hours early in order to have a shot at this thing.
Almost.
Yep, that would totally make sense. And then how long does everybody hang out once the game is done? Does everybody head for their cars, or is there some carryover into the bars after this thing is done?
You technically have a mix of it because you got the people hitting the bars afterwards. Some are open, some are not, some stop with the food, some, you know, keep going, obviously, till 2, and then you have other people who are getting out, you know, heading out on the highways and whatnot. Obviously, it's a weekday, so it's, you know, it's different.
Yeah, people got to go to work tomorrow, right?
Friday was different. Who's was, you know, obviously, 3rd Street has been just an enormous amount of energy. It's just, yeah, it's just like Summerfest. It's like our little bit of our Summerfest here in, you know, June, end of June. This is what we get. So everybody's coming here to, you know, just if we can keep this going, Sparky, if we just really everyone just keep this going, bring all this energy. I keep saying this again. It really I feel like it really has something to do with it. If Milwaukee can really do this. Atlanta's not. This isn't for Atlanta. It's for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm with you,
bring
Nick. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. And keep doing the good work in the bar industry, God knows. I mean, these bars were all hit pretty hard during the pandemic, right? We all know that. So, and now maybe you get a little bit of a resurgence here for those bars down in that area. And I would imagine it's not just down in that area. I'd imagine out in the suburbs, too. Across the state of Wisconsin, bars are probably packed for these Bucks games, too. I hear something from Sam Schmitz passing along from ESPN Stats and Info. Chris Middleton, first Bucks player with 20 points in a fourth quarter of a playoff game over the last 25 postseasons. The only other Bucks player with 20 points in any playoff quarter over the last 25 postseasons is Chris Middleton, done last year. So again, I know Middleton has a lot of guys out there that don't like him, a lot of haters and so forth because the amount of money he makes and everything else, but he can have these type of nights, guys, where he can carry a team, and he carried them tonight in the fourth quarter. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. We'll hear from Coach Budenholzer coming up shortly as well. Adam in Franklin, you're next on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. What's going on, Adam?
How's it going, Sparky?
Good.
So, okay, I see how the announcers want to single out Trae Young and his ankle, and I'm sure our people are going to try and play that off, but am I the only one that noticed that Giannis doesn't have the same explosion with whatever he's dealing with his calf?
Yeah, why to a degree.
Why aren't we going to point that out?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. But even without that same explosion that he's dealing with, to still be able to get up with 33 points and take advantage of it down there like he is. And again, like I said on Twitter during the game, when you have a smaller guy on him in the post, just keep feeding him until they run a double at him. Until that stops. That's all that you need to do. He doesn't need to be in transition running all the time. Obviously, that's where he's most dangerous. But in those situations where he can just turn, thanks for the call, he hung up, where he can spin and go, yeah, just feed him. Because that's what they were doing. And they pointed out at halftime on TNT. Like, McMillan does a great job of that. And Kenny Smith called it old school basketball or whatever. But it's smart basketball. If I've got a small guy on a big guy, give the ball to the big guy and let him go to work. When they had a mismatch for Danilo Gallinari on a smaller guy, Danilo Gallinari got the ball. Whether it would be a turnaround, fadeaway shot, whether it would be a spin move to the baseline or whatever he was going to do, they took advantage of that. And the same thing should apply for the Bucks. And it was there for a while. They were doing that. And then once Chris Middleton got hot, that was the end of that. Now we're going to ride Chris Middleton's hand. And that is totally fine with me. I have absolutely no issue with it. Ride the hot hand. If somebody's going, keep feeding them. Atlanta would do the same thing if they had somebody hot. If Herter was hot or, Collins was hot or Lou Williams, got hot at some point. It's been a long time since he's been hot. If he got hot at some point, they would ride the hot hand, I would assume. Now, again, I'm assuming that's what they would do. But this Bucks team, again, it looks very, very difficult to stop right now as you watch this. Looks very, very difficult to stop. Let's see some tweets coming in as well. I've got a lot of tweets that have come in. Everybody wanting to go at Ram. Our listener, Ram, if you don't know who Ram is, you probably don't listen to the station a lot because he calls like all the shows. And he has been anti-Chris Middleton forever and a day. And just is always on Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton played really well. And one of the things that Ram has pointed out over the course of time is Chris Middleton's just not good on the road. Like, okay, fine, he has good games at home, but he's not good on the road. So let's see him do something on the road. Well, he did something on the road tonight and took care of it. That's what happened. He took care of it. Let's see. Mark tweets, there's only one true Bucks postgame show, Sparky. Holiday scoring is a plus. Presence is huge. I agree with you on the presence aspect, the veteran leadership and all of that. All I'm saying is when you get in a series against a higher scoring team, you're going to need points. Assists are nice. Don't get me wrong, right? He gets credit when Milton makes a shot or whatever. Fine. Great. Wonderful. His defense, good. If they played one-on-one, him and Trae Young, I think Trae Young would have a hell of a time. If they just played a one-on-one basketball game, I think Trae Young would have a hell of a time dealing with him. But that's not how this goes. But he's got to score too, guys. I mean, we can give him all the excuses in the world of saying, oh, hey, I like Drew. He's a great guy and does a lot of stuff off the court and this and that. Fine. Good. All good. All very good. But when you play a higher scoring team, you're going to need more from him. You got out of that Nets series without him giving you a ton. I just think when you get to the next round, especially if it's Phoenix, I'm guessing we'll need more. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be able to do it all with Giannis, Middleton, and then a couple other random people stepping up and scoring. But it would make things a hell of a lot easier if, he could give you 20, 22 a night. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for him to score 33, 35, 20, 22 a night. Just do that. If you can do that, then the rest should take care of itself. I hope. I don't know if any of you follow this dude on Twitter, at World of Clowns. He goes by Jacksuits on Twitter. He is the biggest anti Tucker fan in the entire world. Like, he has been against this dude from the day they acquired Tucker. This dude has been just killing Tucker on Twitter every time he gets. Tonight, he tweets, Bucks win despite the league's worst player in Tucker. This is a special team. Those that... I don't even know what that... That doesn't even make sense out of it. But calls it a special team because they won despite Tucker. Tucker's not a bad basketball player. Solid basketball player. Again, maybe towards a little bit towards the end of his career, but he does what he's supposed to do in the role that he's given. So, again, I have absolutely no problem with P.J. Tucker whatsoever. Jeremy tweets, at 12:50 a.m., the fan, they definitely had me worried most of the game, especially when they couldn't get ahead, even with Young not playing. But thank God for Milton being nasty in that fourth quarter. Yep, no question. That's all part of it. Chris Middleton was huge for this basketball team. We'll hear from Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer coming up next. Bucks get the win and now wait for the game on Tuesday as they try to get to 3-1 advantage and then come back to Milwaukee for a big game on Thursday with an opportunity maybe to win the game. How cool would that be? You win Tuesday against Atlanta, and then Thursday night at home, you could win the East and be celebrating a trip to the NBA Finals. How crazy will it be in the city of Milwaukee on Thursday night? How many people that plan on going Thursday will take off work on Friday, anticipating them clinching and partying all night long in Milwaukee? It is going to be crazy. Bucks get the win, 113-102. We'll hear from Coach Budenholzer coming up next.
It's time for the Q Club Break of the Game on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show on The Fan. Q Club of Wisconsin. Great food and fun in Waukesha.
All right, Bucks get the win tonight over the Atlanta Hawks. 113-102. Chris Middleton was just that damn good tonight. 38 points, 15 of 26 from the field, 6 of 12 from three-point range, 2 of 2 from the line, 11 boards, 7 assists. Giannis does his thing as well, 33, 11 boards, 4 assists, couple steals, and a block for him. Giannis, 6 of 13 from the free throw line, including an air ball, but that's all right. Field goal percentage, 51.1% for Milwaukee, 46.4% for Atlanta. Three-point shooting, 11 of 29 for the Bucks, 37.9%. That's not good. 15 of 37 for the Hawks. That's better, 40.5%. Free throws, 9 of 16 for Atlanta, 12 of 21 for the Milwaukee Bucks. Rebounding, Bucks win that 50 to 35. We talked about that after game one. That being a big, big key in this series. Do not let them own you on the boards. Do not let them have that advantage. And the Bucks did what they were supposed to do and cleared them off the glass. Now, again, Q Club break of the game. I mean, I don't know. I'll go to Sam Schmitz on this one. I just think the break of the game was Chris Middleton caught fire there in the fourth quarter. I think that was the break of the game that kind of changed everything, Sam.
Yeah, and every time it looked like they were going to regain the lead, Atlanta just came back and, you know, had a 5-point, 6-point lead or whatever, so it was good to see them finally pull away late in that fourth quarter, thanks to Chris.
Yeah, no question. And you know, the other part of this, too, is from the Bucks' perspective, going forward here now on Thursday, okay, so now you get tonight to do whatever you're going to do tonight. And then tomorrow, walk through whatever. Don't need to really have, I don't think, any type of practice. This late in the season, you know what you're doing. I don't think there'll be too many adjustments one way or the other. You assume Atlanta's going to come out and probably try and do something similar as they did in game one. I just think if you're Milwaukee, nothing needs to be changed. Just continuing to attack the paint, continuing to go at the rim, and see how they defend it. Because again, while you know Trae Young had a big first quarter and all of that, and overall had a nice game with 35 points, Gallinari, 18? He going to do that again? I don't know. Bogdanović shot horrible, 3 of 16. Herter wasn't great, 4 of 11. To me, when you look at this, I just don't think they have enough. I didn't think they had enough before the series started, and I don't think they have enough now. I feel even better now than I did prior in my Bucks in five prediction. All right, 113-102, Bucks over the Atlanta Hawks. Let's hear from Coach Budenholzer after the game.
Yeah, you know, just being around him a lot, and he starts to see it go in. He starts to feel good. He gets in a rhythm. He can score different ways. He and Giannis in a, you know, two-man game, it's a tough choice. So, you know, huge fourth quarter. I think he had 20 in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, just glad he's on our side.
What does it mean to you? PJ has put it wild in
Yeah, it's a great, just, you know, I think PJ's IQ, PJ's awareness. I thought PJ on the boards was huge. He got, you know, offensive rebound, couple of them, defensive rebounds, the physicality he brings to our group. But, yeah, that extra pass to Chris when he's rolling and to feel that and see it, you know, those are important.
And then just for you, the way that Giannis was going early in the game and then just off of the ground, what do you think of the physicality that he brought with him?
Yeah, good. You know, like you said, I think he got some good stuff going early. I thought the big fadeaway in the middle, you know, late was a big basket. His screen setting, playing in transition, you know, so he's going to, you know, have to fill his cup back up and get ready to go again.
How much of sort of weathering storms, obviously 7-0, down 15, and then even for before when Young goes out, that they kind of make a run?
Yeah, no, I mean, credit to Atlanta. They came out well. They executed. They ran in they got behind us in transition. You know, so we did not have a good start. And then, you know, a couple different stretches, you know, weren't our best. But credit to the players in the fourth quarter, you know, 17-point defensive quarter, just to find a way to win. You know, It's on the road. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. So the guys just found a way tonight.
Right along with that, I mean, we start like a cat on the road, and a game like this can be overwhelming. Is there something that you said or something that was talked about in the huddle to try to calm us down a little bit?
No, I mean, I remember one timeout, Giannis saying, just do it stop by stop. You know, I think Giannis's leadership in the timeouts, Giannis saying, you know, I think when you go to your defense and when that's what you're talking about in timeouts, when you're not playing well, you know, we think that's where it starts. And so I think Giannis and Chris and those guys just getting stops, you know, trying to wear them down. So I think it's just good. That's our identity. We want to be good defensively and play off of that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, he's in a good place. I think, you know, our whole group, you know, sometimes you have to go through some things. I didn't understand everything you said, but, you know, he's in a good place now. And, you know, I think between Drew and Chris and Giannis and then whoever else is on the court, you know, with him, just finding good spots, there's a lot of confidence in the group.
Just following up on that, but to have Chris pick up three, four fouls and then have that file come in the fourth quarter specifically, where sometimes that's at the time it gets overwhelming, what kind of growth is that show?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the foul trouble and just, you know, sometimes that can get you off your game. And just, you know, both teams are, you know, constantly complaining and frustrated. And Chris, you know, isn't any different, but then to compose himself, deal with his own personal foul trouble, deal with whatever's going on in the game, compose himself and score 20 in a fourth quarter. Just speaks to his character, to his growth. You know, he's a hell of a player.
Mike, I think you mentioned a couple of things about defense, especially the 17 and 20 in the fourth quarter. How did you manage to settle in defensively, especially from the point where I think they were up 95-88, you know, took you in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. You know, I think just the rotation, the subbing, got to a place, you know, I think Tuck came back in the game and, you know, he brings a great physicality, brings a great defensive mindset. You know, we were able to get a couple rebounds and I think found a couple threes in transition and the game just flipped right there. I think we were up 96-95 and, but, you know, I think more just some natural subs, but I thought Tuck was huge in the fourth quarter, huge just, you know, on the boards. But Chris, Giannis, you know, Chris is switching on to Trae Young, Tuck's switching on to Trae Young, Giannis, all these guys are having to take their turns, and then they got to battle the big guys on the boards. So I think taking care of the boards was a big thing, big carryover from game one. You know, so it's just a lot of little things add up to good defense.
But when you first got here, I remember the first few years that you with Chris, you said that just feels like there's a lot of that.
No, I mean, I think he's grown. Like, you know, it's a credit to Chris, the work, the time he puts in, but I think he's constantly growing as a player. You know, just, I think, evolving, finishing. Some of his left-hand finishes tonight, impressive. And, you know, and I think, you know, having Drew as a point guard and getting him into places, and obviously Giannis and he have a combination of feeling and play well together. So, but I think Chris has just grown as a player.
Mark Schwartz, ESPN.
But, you know, Chris is one of those guys that doesn't point to himself and create a lot of, you know, attention. He was a second-round pick. A lot of NBA fans probably don't even know where he went to college. Why do you think he's been able to go so far under the radar for his entire career when he can be capable of doing what he did tonight?
Yeah, no, it's hard to sometimes, you know, understand, you know, who catches and people's attention and so on and so forth. But he's a winner. You know, from the day I've been around him, he's done nothing but win. He does all the little things. He's quiet, but his voice is loud in our locker room. His voice is loud in our timeouts. You know, so I think he's just, he's one of those guys that's, you know, very smooth and just, you know, has a way of playing and can score in ways that, you know, I think kind of sneak up on people. And, but he went to Texas A&M, where my oldest son is a senior also. So go Aggies.
Does he rise to the level of superstar? I know you're a little biased, but would you characterize him as a superstar in this league?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not big on, you know, labeling and phrases and terms and all that stuff. He's just a hell of a player. There's lots of great players in this league, and we know what Chris can do for us and how we can win with him, and that's what's most important.
Joe, last one. Just checking back in with Giannis. He had huge numbers, real slow start. In the fourth quarter, there was a time where he just had both hands on the team. How is his calf?
You know, I think the calf is in a good place. You know, he's going to have to stay on top of it. He's going to have to get, you know, I think extra time with the sports performance group. But, you know, all these guys, you know, Drew 42, Chris 42, 43 minutes, Giannis 40 or whatever he's at. In this series, recovery and taking care of your body in between games were every other day for the whole series. So, you know, Giannis and his calf, everybody with their whole bodies, we got to put time in between now and tip for game four.
Tip for game four, 7:30 on Tuesday night. Combo postgame show coming up on Tuesday night. Brewers against the Cubs, Bucks against the Hawks. Tim Allen will be here for all that. 113-102 Bucks victory over the Atlanta Hawks tonight. And I've been looking since last week as far as when the NBA Finals are going to start. And a lot of it is tentative on how long both these series go on the East and the West. But the Suns are a win away from winning theirs. The Bucks 2 wins away. The tentative date that I found that was sent out originally, not knowing how long both these series would go, would be Tuesday, July 6th. Tuesday, July 6th being game one of the NBA Finals. So I'm guessing if these are wrapped up in a timely order here, the Suns take care of business, Bucks take care of business winning the next couple of games here, that you very well may see an off weekend of the NBA, July 4th weekend, and then coming back to get back after it for the NBA Finals starting up primetime on Tuesday night. That would be my guess as far as how this all plays out based on the numbers. I don't think they would go backwards. I don't think they would start earlier than the tentative date they sent out originally, months ago or whatever the case may be, but maybe. It doesn't seem like the NBA way to do things, though. The NBA wants to drag things out as long as possible, which means it would make more sense to give everybody some time. Because you figure, if the Bucks win Thursday, and the Suns already have their series wrapped up, that leaves all day Friday for the Talking Heads to talk about the NBA Finals. Then you get a weekend, a 4th of July weekend. Everybody can relax, do whatever else. And then Tuesday, when everybody comes back, because Monday would be the 5th or whatever, that would be a holiday. So a majority of people aren't going to be working. You'll have a lot of fill-in guests, hosts, and everything else on TV and radio across the country. And then on Tuesday, game one, and that you'll be the centerpiece. Everybody will be talking about leading up to prime time on that Tuesday night, the 6th. So that's my guess of how, as far as how this thing plays out here going forward. Now, again, Bucks got to get two more wins before we can get to that point, but feeling good about that right now. All right, coming up next, we'll hear from Chris Middleton. We'll hear from Giannis, all straight ahead. Bucks beat the Hawks tonight, 113-102. It's a Pick and Save basketball post-game show with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and that guy, Sam Schmitz, producing the show, Other Side of the Glass, game four, Thursday night at 7:30. All right, welcome back. It is the Pick and Save basketball post-game show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Sam Schmitz, other side of the glass. Bucks win 113-102. Bot Winkler will be in tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. Taking your calls, 6 to 10, celebrating a Bucks victory as they now sit in a position where they have a 2-1 advantage. Game 4 coming up on Thursday night. Wendy's Big Show tomorrow from 10 until 2. Leroy Butler and myself. Gary with the day off tomorrow will be on from 10 until 2. Sparky's Midday Madness 2 to 3. And then Robin Maklof with his Bucks Kool-Aid, I am sure of it, tomorrow from 3 in the afternoon to 6 in the afternoon. Lots and lots of fun. And then you got Brewers baseball tomorrow night, Brewers and Cubs. Tim Allen will be on immediately following that one. Hopefully a Brewers victory there. And then before you know it, it's Tuesday, and we're all talking about game number 4 as we try to get another step closer to the NBA Finals, this Milwaukee Bucks basketball team. And I think we all agree, This is it. This is your time. This is your time where you have to take advantage and win a championship. There may not be another perfectly aligned opportunity for you going forward. What I will be interested in seeing, because we've not really ever been in this situation, well, we haven't. If they win this thing, and now you're back in the playoffs next year against the Nets, and all three of those guys are healthy, and whatever happens, and let's say you lose the series, will it be, well, I don't even care. We won the championship last year. I don't even care. Like, does a championship this year essentially get Budenholzer a pass for 2, 3, 4, 5 years from Bucks fans? Or will they be right on yelling and screaming about Budenholzer right away again next year? To a certain degree, I think he probably gets a pass. You win a ring, that should get you a pass. It should. Doesn't mean you're any better or worse of a coach one way or the other after you win a ring. You're still the same guy. But if you win a ring, especially in this town, for as long as we've been long-suffering Bucks fans, to win a ring probably deserves a little bit of a reprieve at that point if you're able to say NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. I think it's okay to give him a reprieve at that point. Maybe not. Maybe I'll jump right on him again, and it won't really matter at the end of the day. Chris Middleton leads the way tonight. He was our Wendy's player of the game earlier. And again, don't forget, get that free Frosty. Free Frosties at Wendy's for you up to 24 hours after each Bucks victory. Chocolate or vanilla. Get a picture of you and your free Frosty tonight or tomorrow if you're going on lunch or whatever the case may be. And then I'll tell you what to do with that picture tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show. So again, take a picture of you and your free Frosty tonight. I'm probably going to stop on my way home. Wendy's are open late. Why not take advantage of it? Middleton, 38 points, 11 boards, 7 assists on the night. 6 of 12 from 3, 15 of 26 from the field. It was absolutely huge. We'll hear from him momentarily. Tim Downtown, you're next on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up?
Hey, Sparky's Bonamago.
What's up, Bonamago Jr.? How are you? Did you go to the Deer District?
I did not. So I live down here, so I like to get away, you know,
sure,
during the craziness.
But yep,
it's still a fun place to be by during this time. So Budenholzer gets a pass big time if they win this thing. Because you kind of stole a little bit of the thunder, but this city is just dying for a championship.
Yep.
Like, he wins a championship, he might get a street named after him in this city. I'm sorry.
A street?
Why not? They do Budenholzer, it up in Green Bay.
Budenholzer Boulevard. Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, why not?
The, yeah. I, what? Didn't they name us like an honorary street after Herb Cole?
Yeah.
Down that Deer District down
yep.
there?
Yep.
Budenholzer might get the other end. So.
Well, Giannis is going to get something out of this. I mean,
he's going to get a statue.
He's going to get a statue and whatever else he wants out of this deal. I mean, that's just how this whole thing is going to play. And again, from a Bucks fan perspective, it's going to become like being a Packers fan a couple years after they win the championship, because then it's going to become, look, we're not going to have Giannis forever. Who knows if we'll ever get another shot at this? We got to get a second one. That's how it's going to be. It's yeah. not. I don't think, though, that expectation will be right away. I don't think. We don't know. We've never been through it. But I think everybody's going to revel in the fact that they won an NBA championship in their lifetime, and it's going to be a pretty happy feeling for a while.
No, I agree. I will tell you, at least me, I will not go into, if they do pull this out, I will not go into next year saying, well, let's repeat now. You know, I'm going to be happy with that one for at least a year, and then you know, if they can pull one out again in 2 years, great.
Yep. And that's
I got that one finally in the city for Green Bay is Green Bay. But here, living in Milwaukee.
Brewers and Bucks.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I want. And that's what I think everybody wants.
No question. Tim, thanks for the call. Bonta Magel Jr., longtime guy. Used to be here at the radio station years ago. You hear him on all the shows. Interesting. Now, you start thinking about this, and I'm going to tell you right now how this is going to play, Sam Schmitz. I'm going to tell you right now how this is going to go. They win this thing. They beat the Suns or whoever they beat in the NBA Finals. They're NBA champion. We get the parade. We get all the hoopla. We get the shirts, the sweatshirts, the hats, all the stuff that goes with it. We all go out and spend stupid amounts of money on all this stuff. Then next season comes, and they won't be the favorite to win the NBA Finals. Then next season comes, and it's going to be, yeah, they're the champion, but they really didn't go through the best team in the league because they were hurt. So the Nets have to be the favorite until proven otherwise. That's how it's going to play, probably, across the nation when next season starts. And it's going to suck to hear as Bucks fans, but I'm totally willing and ready to listen to that banter when that happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, too, that the Nets are going to come back, you know, reloaded next year. The Lakers are going to do something. So you got to really capitalize on this postseason run. But I don't know, man. I'm not penciling them in yet against to win against the Phoenix Suns if they do face them.
They're the best team left. Barkley apparently said it tonight. I said it after the Nets game and the Nets series. I've said it. Anybody that'll listen, whoever won that series was winning this thing. And I'm not changing. So if it's them and the Suns, I'm taking them. Regardless, if it's them and the Clippers, I'm taking the Bucks, just like I took the Bucks here. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. But I feel pretty confident in this Bucks basketball team right now. I just think the mental hurdle they cleared by winning that game seven and getting past that Nets team after that just absolute battle they had physically and mentally dealing with that team. People calling for Bud's job, people going after Middleton, all the stuff that happened in that series to overcome all that, win that series, and now here you go against Atlanta. That's why, again, losing game one, people were freaking out. It's like, just hold on, man. Dude, you had 48. Like, just hold on. Let's just see how this plays. And now you're seeing. You're seeing exactly what I thought, which is, we're the more talented team. The Bucks will advance, and then it's going to be them and I'm guessing Phoenix. That will be a more entertaining series than Atlanta. Like, I could see Bucks Phoenix going six or seven. I could definitely see that. I could see that coming down to a game seven for certain. Like, I don't think that will be like the Atlanta series. That will be a far greater challenge dealing with the Suns in that deal. All right, Bucks win 113-102. We talked about Chris Middleton having a huge night tonight, 38. Here is Chris Middleton after the game.
Negative direction for you in the foul calls and then to come back in the fourth to heat up the way you did. How did you have to collect yourself at all and refocus? What kind of flipped there for you from that time, you know, you kind of had to sit to coming back in?
No, I mean, I definitely disagree with the foul calls that I got. But, you know, it is what it is. They call the fouls. I just got to move on from it. That's all I did. Came out, just took it as a no more rest, and just be ready to go. I came back in.
I mean, we've seen you on heaters like that in the regular season, things of that nature. Is it as you're sitting here now, is it a little different? Does it feel different knowing the stage and the stakes and kind of what it meant to do that?
Nah, I don't think about the stage at all when we're playing. You know, I just try to, you know, stay in the moment, stay in the possession, not worry about, you know, the playoffs or a regular season or a must win or just a, you know, a preseason game. You know, I try to play everything out the same way.
Chris, you're a guy that's obviously, like, looked up to Kobe throughout your career. You are now a postseason closer. Like, what does that mean to you? Like, what does it mean to be the guy that gets the ball in those moments?
It feels good, I will say that. I mean, I think where our team was so unselfish, if anybody has it going, that ball goes to them. Some games it's me, some games it's Giannis, some games it's Drew. We all have a great feel about who has it going, who has the best matchup, and who can create the best look. So when it's my turn or my time to have it, you know, I'm thinking the same way, to try to get the best shot up for everybody.
For you, PJ has an open corner three. And, I mean, we all know what he can do as a corner three-point shooter, and he gives it to you as you're on that heater. Just what was it like for you to know that he's got that trust that I'm going to swing it?
No, that's just – he's one of the most unselfish teammates. He puts his body on the line every possession, and he just tells it – he talks to everybody playing the right way, talks about the extra passes, moving the ball, stuff like that. He doesn't care about his shot attempts or anybody's shot attempts. He just wants to find a way to win.
Chris, was there like a moment or a shot that it was like, all right, yeah, this is – I know this is going to keep going in now?
I can't think of one specifically. I mean, I think once I realized I had two in a row, just told myself to keep trying to find a shot to get up, knowing that I was going to have a good chance of getting in. That's how I was thinking at that time.
I know you're not one to turn around and pat yourself on the back, even when your teammates are, but do you allow yourself to be proud at all of putting up a 20-point fourth quarter?
Yeah, I'm proud of myself, you know, no matter what. You know, second-round pick. Working my way into rotation after I got traded. To me, that's a win. So every time I'm out there, I play with pride. Doesn't matter if I play well or play bad. I know I'm giving my all out there. That's what I'm most proud about.
What gives you a frustration when you're supposed to get to the finals and you don't, and you know that these opportunities are precious?
Yeah, those frustrations come after the season, the offseason, when I'm at home watching guys play. But on the court, you know, I don't think about those things too much. Even if we lost, we lose. It's all about moving on to the next one, find a way to get better and win the next game.
Is your elbow okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Kind of following up with what Vince talked about. Obviously, the team that you're playing is different. You won the first two years ago in the conference finals, but you are again 2 wins away from the finals. Does it feel different this time?
I couldn't, you know, give you an honest opinion. I really don't think about, you know, the past or that Toronto series too much. We have a whole new team. I feel like I've gotten better personally. Our team has gotten better all around. Like I said, more experience. So we're just taking it one game at a time. We're not thinking about 2 games away from the finals like you guys keep saying. We're just thinking about the next game, trying to get this next one. I'm here too before we go back home.
All right, so that's the right answer, right, by Chris Milton. That's the right answer. Don't be thinking about the NBA Finals, 2 games away, just win the next one. As a player, that has to be your mentality. As a member of the media, or as a fan, that does not have to be our mentality. Our mentality can be already talking about how are they going to do against Phoenix or the Clippers. Some of you don't like that mentality either. Some of you prefer going one game at a time, don't jinx them, Sparky, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know if you saw or not, Wayne Larrivee, tweeted out tonight that was the dagger Bucks onto the NBA Finals. He pretty much said the series is over. Larrivee tweeted that out earlier. So he's not worried about jinxing the Milwaukee Bucks at this point any more than I am. Bucks get the win 113-102. Take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from Giannis on the Pick and Save Basketball postgame show. Don't you go anywhere. All right, Pick and Save Basketball postgame show, Bucks. They get the win over the Atlanta Hawks, 113-102. Steve Sparky, Fiverr with you. Sam Schmidt's other side of the glass. Let's hear now from Giannis, who, you know, wasn't the one he's player of the game. By the way, get those free Frosties tonight. Go get that free Frosty. They're open late. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to get me one on the way home. 33 points from Giannis tonight. 11 boards, 4 assists, couple steals, a block, 4 turnovers. He had a great night. 13 of 21, 6 of 13 from the line, including that air ball free throw, whatever. A lot of conversation still about Middleton, even with Giannis talking. Here is some of, I don't have time to play the whole thing, but here is some of what Giannis had to say.
Big and unbelievable.
carry the team at the end. Man, and just, you know, being able to, like, he turned the ball over like two times, and after that he was like locked in. He was like, pass me the ball, and we gave him the ball, you know. And after talking the pass, that there's moments that, you know, we know when to set screens for him, we know when he wants the ball, and that was the moment. We were like, get the hell out of the way, give him the ball, take us home, Chris, and that's what he did. And as I said, you know, I talked to him a little bit in the locker room. You know, what I saw today was unbelievable, and for me it was greatness. Simple as that.
Eric asked Bobby about the fact that Chris isn't necessarily known for being the most athletic player, and Bobby immediately jumped in and said, well, at the combine, you can measure jumping, you can measure speed, you can measure all these things. One thing you can't measure is heart, and he has the most of that. I'm wondering at what point you've kind of seen that evolve and change in the work that Chris puts in day out to result in this.
I think throughout the whole journey of being with him for 8 years, you know, from the start, like, obviously we're young, tried to figure it out, but, you know, once we started to figure it out, I saw that he was like, it's tough, you know, and he's going to give everything for the team, every given night, every time he steps on the floor, no matter if he plays well, no matter if he doesn't play well, he's always there. He's always giving everything for the team, and that's a lot. That's a lot.
Thank you.
A couple of years ago, you had told me this story of, like, when you two were both fighting for playoff, like, for playing time at the start of your career. You're both fighting. You have scratches all over your arms. Like, what does it mean for you that that dude is still with you and he's the one that's closing playoff games?
It's an unbelievable journey, you know, and it's crazy. We were talking about maybe like, I don't know, maybe like 2 days ago, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, we were in the locker room, and we're talking about like, how long are you going to play for? You know, we just had a silly conversation, and he was like, I'm not going to say exactly what he said, but like, I told him, I said, hey, the day you retire is going to be the toughest day in my career, because like, I've been with you the whole time, and it's been an unbelievable journey. It's great seeing this guy, man, where we started, where we are, where he started, where he is right now. As you said, closing games, and that's what we need from Chris. We need him to, you know, be aggressive. We need him to take over games, make good decisions, and play off him.
The other day, he had said he had never seen you make that little up and under finger roll in a one-on-one setting.
What it's like, I'm just...
What have you seen from him in a one-on-one set? Like, what is it like if you two are playing one-on-one? Like, is it the same thing right there?
What you mean? Same thing that... Hell no. No, I'm joking. But one thing that, like, I was, like, it was strange to me, like, today that I saw from him. Like, we got the rebound, and Drew was in the right side of the floor. I was in the middle, and he was, like, in the left corner. Right? And he was like, you know, begging for the ball. And I'm looking, I'm like, he's not open, you know? But like, he took the ball, Drew took the ball, swing it, I think, to Pat or somebody, and they swing it to Chris, and Chris like pump fake, tried to drive the ball, did not drive the ball, came to the 3-point line, took a step to the corner, like almost like behind the backboard, cash. You know, like that's greatness to me, you know, and like we've done that when we play one on one a lot of times, and I think one thing that over the time that he got better, especially against me, is that he learned how to like use his body and his shoulders and his stops to like shoot over me. He's really elite in that.
How mad are you when he gets one over the top? I feel like
mad as hell. You know, because like he's one of those players that you play great defense and you're right there and you're like, okay, I got him. He can't go nowhere. And all of a sudden he's just rainbow shot over the top of you, cash. You know, but he's special for a reason, and he showed it tonight.
Yeah, aside from the physical stuff and putting in the work, what is your buddy even mentioned, like sort of the composure, and how have you seen that maybe grow from, you know, we get four fouls after three quarters, and he admitted, he's like, I didn't like those calls, maybe get a little frustrated, but then turns it around. Where is that part of experience
of, in terms of Chris, just like learning, I'm not getting calls. Maybe I shouldn't get called, but then able to kind of block that out, put it aside, and not let it linger to the end of the game.
You know, he's the ace of cards, fans. You know, and matter what goes on in the first quarter, first half, whatever the case might be, you got to let it go. You got to keep playing the game. You know, you got to do whatever it takes to win the game. You know, if you get called by a silly foul, so if you turn the ball over or if you make wrong decision, you got to keep playing because that's what the team wants us to do. You know, to keep playing and figure out the way to put ourselves in a position to win the game. But I think he played great throughout the fouls. I don't remember the fouls. I don't know. Finished with what? What the fouls are?
He had four in the third.
Oh, yeah, right. He had four. So I think he did great. He played great. Played through the fouls, and it was good.
Early in the game, you guys are down 15, and Bud said that you're in the huddle saying, hey, it's one stop at a time. Build it one stop at a time. You mentioned your leadership. I know you've talked about finding the time to be vocal. I guess you speak to that today and what that meant. When did you feel like, okay, they need to hear from me so we can get back in this?
No, I'm a guy, I lead by example, and I don't talk a lot, but I talk specific, you know. And at that moment, you know, when I see heads down and that the game might be going away, I try to remind guys, one stop at a time, one position at a time, you know. And in that way, we can put ourselves in a position, like, that doesn't mean we're going to win the game, but the mindset changed now. Instead of like, okay, they're up 15, they're hitting all the threes, we can't stop them, whatever the case might be. Let's focus on one stop, one possession at a time. And there's moments, you know, that I feel that I have to, you know, say that, you know. But at the end of the day, it's not that I feel like I'm the leader of the team after before. It doesn't really work like that. You know, the other guy's vocal, DJ is vocal, Chris is vocal, Drew is vocal. But I try to, as I said, not talk a lot, but talk specific. You know, be specific with my words and try to throw them out there in the right time, because I think it means more to the people that try to listen to you.
Yeah, she ended up on the injury report today. What's going on?
I hurt my pinky.
No.
I was good. You know, I was just a little bit sore, banged up from game two. That's pretty much it. I was good. And hopefully, you know, I get some rest tomorrow and get ready for game four.
All right, there he is. The guy that has won multiple MVPs, Giannis, talking about the injury report and him landing on there and joking around about, it's a broke pinky or whatever the case, or injured pinky or whatever else. And there's nothing wrong with this pinky. It had to do with his leg, had the sleeve on his leg, said he's fine, don't worry about it. I don't know how much it really affected him per se, but here's a stat for you that'll blow your mind. This is from StatMuse. I saw Dan Plucker, our executive producer for the Wendy's Big Show. He's off tomorrow. He'll be back on Tuesday. Retweeted this earlier. Players with 10 or more 30-point, 10-rebound games in a single playoff run since 1963. So you follow me, Schmitz? You understand that? Shaquille O'Neal, Hall of Famer. Hakeem Olajuwon, Hall of Famer. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Hall of Famer. And Giannis. That's the list. Only those four. 10 or more 30-10 games in a single playoff since 1963. Shaq, Hakeem, Kareem, and Giannis. Literally all four. You can just say their first name and you know who I'm talking about, which is even crazier. That is unbelievable company to be keeping if you are any type of player at this point. And it is really, really amazing. Here is a couple more tweets that are coming in. Blue tweets at 1250 AM. The Fan. The Bucks win a title this year, but is writing his own checks. For better or worse, at least he ain't Jason Kidd. True. Jason Kidd, new head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, gets his chance to be a head coach for the third time in his NBA career, and we'll see where it goes from there as far as how good Jason Kidd will be in Dallas. So again, game number four comes up Tuesday night. So you get sleep tonight, sleep tomorrow night, back at it Tuesday night, 7:30 tip time for that one in Atlanta. You can expect more crowd counting Giannis down at the free throw line. At one point, he had, what, three in a row, I want to say, at the free throw line in that game. And then he had a free throw that airballed, hit another one off the top of the front of the rim, almost airballed, airmailed two of them, and back-to-back ones. But as we've talked about, as long as the Bucks rebound the basketball well, and that is obviously part of it, if you rebound the basketball well, you should win the next couple of games and then talk about, you know, an NBA Finals. Are you at Bucks in five, Sam Schmitz, or are you still Bucks in six or later?
I said on Rami's show, Bucks in five, and I think I'm going to stay with that. But, man, I could just based on the way Atlanta – well, I don't know, because of the Trae Young ankle injury. I don't know.
And now, you said that – we haven't talked about it in the air, but you had said something about maybe him getting an MRI tomorrow?
Yeah, he said he's going to get an MRI tomorrow on the ankle. So I really do think that Bucks in five is more likely going to happen, unless the only thing I could see is Atlanta stealing one at home. But like I said, with this ankle injury, I highly doubt that.
I'm telling you right now, if I was Trae Young, I don't want an MRI on my ankle. I don't want to know what it is. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals. I played on it there in the fourth quarter, right? Why would I want to get an MRI for the doctor to tell me you're done, you can't play anymore? I don't want to know that. If I'm Trae Young, keep me as far away from MRI machine as humanly possible. I'm just going to go out there and play, assuming it's just a sprain. I don't want to know how bad it is. Wouldn't you be the same way, Sam?
I mean, I'm just thinking about his play style and all that. It's just, you know, with his speed, it's really going to be limited.
Sure.
You know? So hopefully that means, you know, less floaters, less driving and all that. So we'll see.
But if an MRI comes back and says something's torn and they go, you're done, Trae. Well, they're done. And the Atlanta Hawks are done. If I don't know... And you don't know, and you're going to say, well, if you want to play, we don't know what's going on. You don't want to take the MRI. That's up to you, Trae. If I'm Trae Young, well, I'm fine. Shoot me up, tape me up, do whatever you got to do. I'll figure it out to be out there. Because I think he knows. I think Nate McMillan knows as the coach. I think Gallinari and everybody else on that team, for that Hawks team, knows if he's out, they're done in two. Like, they're not winning another game in this series, Sam.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if he is out, or even if he's limited, I think they're still winning in two.
Correct. So we're talking about winning in two, which means a celebration in the Deer District on Thursday night after what should be a Game 5 victory for the Bucks, and then start talking about an NBA Finals trip against what looks to be, now again, it's 3-1, Suns over the Clippers. It should be the Suns. All right, that'll do it for the Pick 'Em State Basketball postgame show tonight. Time now to join CBS Sports Radio. Already in progress. Have a good night, everybody.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
from the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night. Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama. Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.